Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We are joined, as we have the privilege of being each week, by one of the country's preeminent experts on economic warfare. It is a matter of professional as well as, I guess, personal interest to Kevin Freeman. He has been studying it closely in his role as a chartered financial analyst and as the author of two best-selling books on the subject. The first was Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. Between times, he has been writing handsomely at globaleconomicwarfare.com and as a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy. You will be seeing him soon in a new television rendering, Economic War Room, with Kevin Freeman. We're awaiting with bated breath its arrival. In the meantime, Kevin, we're always happy to have you here.
Great. Thank you, Frank.
Kevin, an instrument of economic warfare by the United States and other civilized nations, as we like to think of them, for a long time has been sanctions. Sanctions against North Korea, sanctions against Russia, sanctions against, I guess, from time to time, at least Pakistan and others. I'm interested in your thoughts about how the countries that have been targeted by these sanctions are now increasingly responding to them with economic warfare instruments of their own. Let's start with the topic that we discussed in the previous segment with Gordon Chang, and that is what North Korea is doing now to try to weaken sanctions through talks with South Korea as well as with their friends in communist China.
Well, the North Koreans no doubt have suffered under the economic sanctions. They found workarounds. The Chinese have for years allowed them to escape the brunt of some of them by continuing and increasing trade with China. And now it appears that the supreme leader is feeling full of himself with his newly acquired nuclear capabilities. And he is reaching out to South Korea almost with the presumption that he's untouchable. They're doing everything they can, whether it's in regard to the Olympics or in trade with China or whatever. He says, we've arrived. We've established our technological capability, and therefore we have to be treated at a certain level in the world. And he's pushing that as hard and fast as he can to advance his position.
Let me ask you about China. Gordon Chang has talked about particularly the military assistance that the Chinese have been rendering the folks in Pyongyang. What is going on more broadly, as you see it at the moment? We've heard about oil offloads that have enabled the Chinese to continue to circumvent restrictions on energy flows into North Korea. Again, do you draw the same conclusion that Gordon does, that this is a willful, purposeful, state-engineered policy in defiance of what their obligations are under agreements that they supported at the UN?
Well, I have a little doubt that Gordon's correct in this, in multiple regards, one of which is that China is using North Korea whenever they want to leverage their own position. And so they reach out and say, well, you need to turn to us to restrain North Korea, and so therefore give us more favor in this area or that area. It is all a part of unrestricted warfare. It goes back to the two Chinese colonels wrote the book in 1999. It is a part of their they use diplomacy as a means of economic warfare. They use every aspect of their policy is geared towards enhancing the Chinese position. And so there's no doubt in my mind that they're not taking the world's position and saying it would be a horrifying mistake to allow unrestrained nuclear capabilities in a rogue state like North Korea. Instead, they're saying this is actually one of their weapons in their arsenal. And they continue to have policy that shows that.
Speaking of weapons in one's arsenal, there are reports, Kevin Freeman, that the Russians have decided to start using the power of cryptocurrencies as an instrument for their own activities in the sanction-busting business. How does that work, and will it?
Well, they talk about a crypto ruble. there, when you use sanctions, there's a few things that you can use. You can use direct trade with a country or force another country to not trade with a specific target. So you'd say, don't sell anything to North Korea, don't buy anything from North Korea. So you use trade as a weapon. Another weapon that you use is access to the global monetary system, which is built upon the United States dollar and has been for decades. And you say, we're not going to allow you to access this. Well, the Russians fear this weapon, and they realize that if they were cut off from the global monetary system, it would do irreparable harm to their economy. And so they've been working against that for many years, either to displace the dollar and replace it entirely with a non-American-driven monetary system, or to get access to global financial markets apart from that. And a crypto ruble would be a part of that gaining access. And in fact, if they're early on adopters, they might be one of the world's leaders. And so Venezuela has stated basically the same thing. They're going to create a cryptocurrency that they'll operate their economy on. The Russians are doing it. So it is an attempt to undermine the dollar in the existing monetary system and to do it in a forward-thinking fashion using technology.
And your thoughts on its likelihood of success?
I think that there's a mixed bag with the cryptocurrencies and the Bitcoin in terms that we have an existing monetary system that's deeply flawed, and it does need to be replaced technologically. And this, using the blockchain, is one very good means, which is a distributed ledger approach to doing that. But governments don't want to see that happen and lose their power. And so the Chinese, they have a mixed view of this. You know, on the one hand, they're very heavy promoters in the technological space. For others, they provide the machines. Every machine that mines bitcoins, for example, comes out of China, but they're banning mining inside their own country. It is a mixed bag, and it is yet to play out. But the fact is, it is one more mechanism being attempted to displace the dollar for global trading.
You just said something I didn't know, and that's stunning, Kevin Freeman, and that is that the Chinese are providing the technology infrastructure for the Bitcoin system. That would, based on what we know about China, almost certainly mean that system is compromised by Chinese espionage collection techniques, what have you, to the point where the anonymity, the ability to move money stealthily, that has been, as I understand it, one of the hallmarks of this cryptocurrency, is presumably not so much in Beijing. Is that true?
That is a serious issue, is that you can hack the Bitcoin wallets and so forth. But this is the critical issue. In Bitcoin mining, you have to use their machines, which could be laced with all sorts of nefarious things that could pass along information. But the very act of Bitcoin mining itself is a decryption act. You're decrypting information that's been heavily encrypted. And so you're solving complex algorithmic problems, and then you mine and you receive rewards for doing that. Who set this system up, and where are the rewards going, and who's providing the rewards, and what are they getting in exchange? And so if you have a Chinese-based machine, what would prevent the PLA, People's Liberation Army, from sending out things that they wanted decrypted and getting massive decryption capabilities from decentralized around the world? You pile up, you reward them with Bitcoin, and you get back state secrets that have been stolen.
Finally, very quickly, Kevin Freeman, could you tell me about Pakistan's efforts to respond to apparently President Trump's tweeting through its own form of economic warfare?
Well, the Pakistanis have said, we don't need your money, it's not that important to us, which I doubt to be correct, but they've said, we're going to abandon the dollar and do more trade with China, which is, the Chinese are using everything they can to further their One Belt, One Road initiative. They're offering cheap debt, they're offering access to markets, and they're offering less moralizing regarding internal affairs. And with that, they're telling the Pakistanis, hey, you don't need the United States. We can be your big brother.
Well, and I think they have been for some time, but they may be amping it up. But if it's coming at the expense of, again, dollar transactions contributing to an imperiling of the reserve currency of the world, Kevin Freeman, you understand better than anybody the implications of that. And I appreciate you coming aboard to share it with us each week. And it's ominous indeed. Keep up the good work, my friend. Check it out at globaleconomicwarfare.com. All the best, my friend. We'll talk with you again next week. Christian Whiten, next up. of late with the State Department. We'll talk with him about the exercise of smart power in the age of Trump. Right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.